Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection. We are here for you every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you now join us for devotion? We'll have Mark Bryant singing I Need Thee. The scripture will be read, Romans 12, 1 through 10. 1 through 21, and Dr. Nooks will close us in prayer, or begin, start us with prayer, actually.
Good evening, everyone. Again, thank you for joining us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the word is explained. Again, I'll be starting off in devotion with song, then we'll have scripture, and then prayer. But we're starting off singing, I Need Thee, simply letting God know we need him and all that we do, all that we say, and all that we are about. I need thee.
I need thee all. I need thee for every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee all. I need thee for every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come, I come, I come to thee.
Amen. Amen. I'll be reading for you Romans, the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 21st verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, so many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in according with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraged, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. And be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I've read for you the NIV translation of Romans, the 12th chapter, the 1st to the 21st verse. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearers of his word.
Amen. God, we just thank you for tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for giving us your word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. God, help us to understand what our gifts are and help us to use those gifts. And we come against that which would prevent us from using our gifts in the name of Jesus so that the church can be the church that you would have us to be. You gave us gifts for a reason, God, and that's to help each other out and to build up and edify the church. So help us, God. We need your gift help tonight, and we ask for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Dr. Zinni, did you want me to... We're so excited to have everybody here tonight. And we're just grateful. Tonight we're going to focus on the last week of our Bible study surrounding spiritual gifts. Our theme is God help us to use the spiritual gifts that we've been given. And that's been our lesson for the month of November. We started off with talking about what are some spiritual gifts. We talked about and discussed what they are. Who has the spiritual gifts? Why do we have spiritual gifts? And what prevents us from using our gifts? So that's our theme tonight. We're going to talk about what it is that prevents us from using our gifts. And Dr. Nooks, if you're ready to lead us in the teaching for that this evening, we're ready to go. Let's go, let's go.
Praise the Lord. And we've been talking about these spiritual gifts, and we read scriptures about the fact that God has given us these spiritual gifts. They are gifts of the Spirit and also fruits of the Spirit, and that we were given those gifts to edify the body of Christ, so to build up the people of God and to build up the church. And our concern is that the church is declining in many senses, as far as numbers, and I think even people doubting their faith and doubting the church itself, and many people relying more on their own worship, their own coming together, and not wanting to be bothered with the church. There are reasons why God gave us these gifts, and we want to focus on what it is that prevents us from using them. I told the story about the young people in our church, the church that I pastored, where they didn't believe they could use their gifts because they felt like people in the church didn't want them to. And so they felt like they didn't have their gifts, and so they didn't use them in some cases. So we want to ask, I guess, the general question to start out with, and we want to look at Romans 12, but we want to look at some other scriptures too, and want to ask those that are on the line tonight what it is that you feel prevents us from using our spiritual gifts. I want to just get some thoughts from those that are listening in and participating before we start looking at the scripture.
Now, what's that question again, Dr. Hunt?
What do you feel from using our spiritual gifts?
Wow. I think a lot. One of the biggest, Dr. Susie, one of the biggest things that I think prevent us from using our spiritual gifts is many of us don't know that we have one or what it is. And I think that's the reason why you started off with the question of what are spiritual gifts and who has them and why. And I think that it, the lack of information and ignorance is the reason why for me.
Okay. But Bryant, do you have a comment on that?
I think in addition to that, it's almost like peer pressure. It's sometimes when people know that they have a gift, they're scared to actually use that gift. You know, based on what people may think of, sometimes you can have good pressure and bad peer pressure, but sometimes just that pressure alone where people don't know how their reaction may be received is enough for them to not use the gift that they have.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to turn to James chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, before we get into Romans. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And I know you're driving, Brother Bryant, so we won't ask you to read anything. I can read and Dr. Susie can read.
Do
we have some other people
online?
Okay.
Yes.
Can someone get
they can volunteer.
James chapter 4?
I can start off with James chapter 4.
Okay.
And
verses
what verses 1 through 8. Would you like?
1 through 8.
I've got. Do you
okay.
mind if I use a New Living Translation?
Not at all.
Okay. James chapter 4, 1 through 8. What is causing the
yes.
quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desire at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. That's 1 through 5.
When you read 1 through 8.
Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously, as the scripture says. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. That's 1 through 10. We've got Brett on the phone. Eric has joined us. Sean is here. So we've got several people more that have joined us tonight. And we have visitors from Ohio.
Amen.
Anybody would like to talk about that? We are now discussing the idea of what's preventing us from using our gifts.
And I bring up this text for a reason. It starts out by saying, what is causing the quarrels and fight among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? In using our spiritual gifts or not using them, do we feel that sometimes the quarrels and the difficulties we have in churches can somehow put out the fire or cause us to perhaps not participate like we should in using our spiritual gifts?
What do you think about that, Brother Lester?
Well, I would say that one of the reasons why we don't use our spiritual gifts is because we're simply not taught the way that we should be taught. People are afraid of speaking in tongues. People are afraid of speaking in tongues with interpretation. People are afraid of prophecy. People are afraid of words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning the spirits. People are afraid of supernatural acts of faith. They're afraid of miracles, and they're afraid of supernatural healing. And when you are afraid of what is supernatural because you've not been instructed, then you are not going to operate in those gifts.
Amen. Amen. Why do you think they're afraid?
Well, they're afraid because the natural, we understand. We understand our what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. That's our daily experience forever. However, because so much of the occult, so much of the Aruban religion, especially in our African-American churches, so much of Santeria has entered into Christendom and latched on like a parasite, that it's hard to discern what is spiritually legitimate, what is supernatural power acting according to the description of such in the Word of God, and that supernatural power that you see in the occult and in other religions.
What do you think about that, Sean? You have to get off mute. What do you think about that, Eric?
You know, there is some truth to what Brother Carver said. I just think that most people don't know that they have spiritual gifts because they don't know the Lord well enough to know that they do and how to use them. And if you haven't been taught that, if you haven't been in a church that teaches that and talks about that, then you're not going to know. And if you don't have faith enough in God that you have those and to use those for God's glorification, not necessarily man's, but for God's glorification, that you're never going to use them. You're never going to enter into that. That may be a part of who you are spiritually. So I personally
Amen.
Think that people just don't know and don't believe God enough at his word to know that those gifts are part of them, and searching to find those gifts and using them for the edification of God's kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Mark,
Amen.
do you see anything in there that you want to jump in and talk about? Either Mark? Okay, Sean? Okay. Everybody's quiet tonight. I don't know what's going on.
I wanted to point out some things in that scripture, this scripture here, and I wanted to talk somewhat about what Brother Lester said also. And we have in here, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you, and humble yourselves before God. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. And that gets to what Brother Eric was talking about. And I think we do have a problem in not getting close to God and not realizing what God has given us. And I think that we do quarrel in the churches and fight amongst ourselves in denominations. And I think what Brother Lester is saying is true, and I think it's also true that we do this in denominations within the Christian faith. And we say that one denomination is wrong and another denomination is right. And we condemn each other. It causes confusion to the people. And instead of looking at God's word and go ahead.
So Dr. Nix, what do you think the evil desires at war within us are? You know, that's
because
causing this
quarrel. I think we want to be gods ourselves. I think this is the problem we had in the Garden of Eden. I think we want to be the biggest, the best. And, I mean, you find this in race relations also. One race thinks they're better than another race. You know, one denomination thinks they're better than another denomination, and they justify vilifying that other denomination, and they use the scripture. And they pull certain parts out of the scripture and say, this justifies why you should do it the way I say, and this also justifies why they're wrong. Those people are wrong. And we got people believing that the miracles can't be done now, We got people believing that you can't speak in tongues. We got people believing that, that you can't supernaturally heal people. And if people don't believe it, then they're not going to see it. So I feel like we've got a real big problem in the churches and quarreling and fighting amongst ourselves.
I have a question. Brother Lester, since you're in a very charismatic, or have been in a charismatic denomination, do you see that active in the church where people, they got one gift is better than another? Maybe they think that speaking in tongues or prophesying is better than having the gift of wisdom.
Well, let me kind of shed a little bit of light on that. I think that the wrong teaching comes in people not understanding that the Holy Spirit is the gift. And the manifestations or operations of that gift of Holy Spirit are speaking in tongues, interpretation tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. And if you understand that, then you can take the wrong teaching that's been applied in various churches to say, oh, I have a gift. No, the Bible, as a matter of fact, when it speaks of the gift ministries of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, those are gifts to the body of Christ. You don't have a gift. You are a gift to be used to perfect the saints. And then each of those saints, they can all operate the manifestations or operations of the Holy Spirit of speaking tongues, interpretation tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing if they're taught,
right.
If they're shown from the Word how to operate in that power, and then they can grow and know that the spiritual realm is real, that the power that's in you is greater than any devil spirit you're going to come in contact with, so that when you do experience the dark side of supernatural power, you don't have to be afraid. You can know that what's in you can overcome and directly combat that spiritual power you're coming in contact with. Otherwise, what people do is they cower to darkness, and then they yield to those who are operating in that negative spiritual power, and they're just subject. They don't know. They're set up for defeat, and that is the result of wrong teaching.
So you perceive that if we believe that each of us has a gift, because we already read through the last couple of weeks that it's the Spirit that gives the gift. So once the Spirit gives us the gift and we are the gift, then as we are the gift to the body, we operate in that gift, and therefore we build and edify the body.
Amen. Edification, exhortation, and comfort is what all of the operations of the Holy Spirit are really determined to do, is to build up the body of Christ, to heal the body of Christ, to restore the body of Christ, to empower the body of Christ. That's what it's for.
So I have a question, to the group. Go ahead.
And our text has said that. This is James. Our text has said that's the reason why we have gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 31, Romans 12, 1 through 16, and Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, we read about a lot of gifts that the church has been given. Wise advice, special knowledge, great faith, gift of healing, power to perform miracles, ability to prophesy, discern whether a message is from God or another spirit, speaking unknown languages, unknown tongues, ability to interpret, apostles, prophets, teachers, also serving others, teaching, encouraging others, giving, leadership abilities, showing kindness to others. So there's a lot of different gifts of the Spirit.
So my question, Dr. Nooks, was that how many of us have churches that teach operation of the gift? You know, we got several people online. Eric, does your church teach that?
No.
No, many.
So would you say that
many churches do?
How do people perceive that in your church? How do they operate? I mean, how do they feel about that?
Well, if it's visible, they can recognize it, but they don't teach it. I mean, you don't have a whole lot of, and I can't speak for all, but you don't have a whole lot of congregations that are teaching and believing in that, because everybody is kind of like, trying to be in the middle of the road to be politically correct. But you don't you don't find a lot that are teaching that because it's you know, it's to God, if you will. And that's partly
how about your brother Mark?
The day is there's not enough God is down the middle of the road, and the middle of the road is not a good place to be.
Well, so brother Mark, does your church teach about the gift? He's off the line. Sean, does your church teach about spiritual gifts?
I don't think so. Not in that specifically saying spiritual gifts. You know, I do think they teach in terms of saying that we're all gifted and talented and that type of thing, but not specifically in terms of saying spiritually gifted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Brother Brian? Does your church teach about spiritual gifts? He's on mute. Okay. Brian, does your church teach about spiritual gifts? All right,
about,
then.
About
Brother
same
Hill.
As before. I was saying
okay.
that the last thing you said.
I said, does your church teach about spiritual gifts?
No, they don't really teach. They don't go into details about that. They just teach about gifts, but not anything, any specifics.
Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why you think that may be?
That's a good question. I haven't ever even thought to ask or bring that up.
Okay.
Okay. You can't teach about what you don't know about.
Well,
I said it before. This is James. Our if you look at theology and you look at the churches and the forming of the churches and how they have going against each other, you can understand why many of the mainline denominations do not teach about gifts of the Spirit. And if they do, then they maybe will say about healing, or maybe they'll say about certain parts of it, you know, or the gift of giving. But they are afraid of the gift of speaking in tongues. I think, like Brother Lester said, an interpretation of tongues, and then some churches that teach that you have to be if you have to be saved, or if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And then you got a big schism there between the denominations. So it's really a denominational thing. It's a theology thing. It's one protecting their belief system as opposed to somebody else. And it has to do with this quarreling and fighting amongst ourselves. And they will, to defend their set of principles or dogma.
Well, I have a question if it's a denominational thing, because it says in the scripture it's not the denominational thing, but the evil desire war within you. Is that not the real issue?
Well, it says that, and that is the fight that was in you. I think Dr. Nooks is right of wanting to be God and wanting to be superior above all else, and even in yourself, good and bad, or whether you should or should not. But I also think James in here talks, if we read close, he talked about, you know, there was only one church. Christ only gave one message.
Amen.
As,
no
as
denomination
the fell
required.
Out, you know, they created all this confusion, and if you follow Apollos, then you can't follow Paul, and if you follow Paul, you can't,
preach.
You know, this, that, and the other. And so, but Christ only gave one message.
Amen.
And that spirit gives that message as well.
Yeah,
then,
and that's the problem.
Isn't that the same issue we're dealing with right now? If you can't be with Creflo, if you can't be with TD, if you can't be with, you know, what's the deal? If you can't
well,
be with
yeah,
Jesus,
that is the problem right now. That is the problem right now. But this is Eric. That is the problem right now. But if you would pick up your book and read and ask God to give you insight and guidance and understand and have a relationship with God, God would reveal all of that to you.
Amen.
You can't just sit up under somebody and let them try to tell you something, because they may lead you astray. If you don't pick this book up and spend time in it, and I mean a lot of time, then you're going to always be led astray and have these conflicts and all of that stuff.
And everybody wants you to sit up under somebody, and you don't have to sit up under anybody. The truth be told, you don't need nobody but Jesus. Like Eric said, you need the word,
and the ability to read, and the Spirit of God will lead and guide you in every day of your life. You do not need to sit up under nobody. You don't need nobody to interpret nothing for you. That's, you know what I'm saying? And so I agree, but people don't want to say that about the church. People want to hear where you have to go to this building and you have to be with so many hundreds of people and support. Listen, Jesus brought support to his disciples. He told them where to go, and he provided for them.
Worse is how do you hear without a preacher? And you can't get a preacher unless you're the preacher at home.
Hold up.
This is Eric. Let me touch on that one. Yeah, how can you hear without a preacher? But the preacher is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's word is right here among us to be read, taught.
Amen.
Now, you can go to a church together with other folks and hear what the Lord has to say. But the teacher, the preacher is Jesus Christ. And his word ought to be speaking to all of us. But it can't speak to you if you're not spending time with it and understanding it. Because that person standing in that pulpit may or may not give you what you need to know.
Amen.
Now,
I'm
not
negating that.
What
I'm trying to say is this. It says you must assemble yourselves together. That doesn't mean you and Jesus are assembling. He said, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. So anyway, that's my statement. Go ahead, Lester.
Amen.
Dr. Beavers, you know, there's a legitimate point, though, in that, yes, they fellowshipped in the home. Yes, where two or three are gathered together in his name, that is a valid assembly, right? But instruction is required. When we throw this term around gifts, when you read in the King James, you'll see how that word has been added. It's put in italics, right? When you study the word gifts, there are three different Greek words referring to three different aspects of what we're talking about. So when you talk about evangelists, pastors, teachers, that's one word. When you talk about interpretation, that's another word. When you talk about helps and ministers, mercy and giving and all that, that's another word. And without getting into all that, there needs to be somebody to teach you that, who's not trying to defend some religious dogma of their denomination. And I believe a day is coming when all these denominations are going to disappear and the body of Christ is going to show up. You see what they call charismatic arms in the Catholic Church of people who speak in tongues. You can't stop the Holy Spirit from showing up.
Well,
but church can hinder people's teaching.
Well, God is going to be present where God wants to be. We can't keep God out of what God is trying to do. Amen. It's going to happen.
Amen.
God is going to get through. The word is not ever going to return void. But the reality is we still have to stay in the word. And not only do we need to stay in the word, but we need to understand that we have to assemble. The whole reason we have a body is so the gifts are given to edify the church. So it's not you to be there by yourself edifying yourself. This is edifying the body.
I understand that, but every church is not the body of Christ. Now let's just
be
real
about
that. I
agree with that, Eric. Every church is Every church does not obey the Lord. Every church does not do what God said do. But that does not stop the word from going saying what thus said the Lord, which means we need to learn to align. A friend of mine said, we have the word of God to give us a position. We have to align our practice with the posture that God has given us. But when we do that, then we're in line with God's word. Then we're in sync with what heaven is saying and interceding on our behalf. But we have to do that. And until we do that, you're right, Eric, we're not functioning as a true body of Christ.
And the church is not a building, Dr. Susie, in my opinion. The church, you and me and Eric. But my point is this. People, I think they use that word church so loosely, and they have the perception that it has to be a group of people in a building to be church. Church is in you. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you. Like you said, the word of God will not return void. He is speaking in you, and he's leading and guiding you. That's why Jesus died. He said, I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come and counsel you. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead and guide and direct you. So if he's doing that, he's going to lead and guide you to Dr. Susie to help support me and give me interpretation or teach me and lead and guide me. He's going to bring an Eric into my life and say, this is what, you know, his experience and his thoughts and his understanding of the word is. And Lester, he's going to bring that person into my life. So I don't have to go to a physical church because the Holy Spirit is in me. He's in you. He's individuals who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that is the body. He's bringing those individuals together. That is the body of Christ. That is the church.
You know,
that is
you
not
know,
a building that a bunch of people have to come in, and you don't know if they're really, like you said, called by the word of God to teach you because you're thinking because he's in a pulpit, he's telling the truth. You don't know that.
I hear you.
Someone
there's
called,
a biblical precedent.
Someone
shut
up and went.
There's a biblical precedent for that.
Go ahead, Lester.
Yeah, there's a biblical precedent for that because in Acts 19, 1 through 7, right, it speaks of how the believers there at their at that time didn't even hear that the Holy Spirit was available. And yet they came and they shared with them. They shared with them that the Holy Spirit was available. It was available for them to speak in tongues. They laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, right? And they brought the message, they brought the good news, they brought the word to them. And even with the household of Cornelius, the first time that Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, God sent Peter there to them. And when they heard them speaking in tongues, the Jews said, oh my God, how can we withhold water baptism from them in the name of Jesus Christ, having heard them manifest the Holy Spirit, right, by speaking in tongues? So all these things that we're afraid of in the church, we need not be afraid of. We just have to educate ourselves. And then once we learn, we have to take the message of the good news out to others instead of waiting for them to come to us.
Acts 19, 1 through 7 says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And what baptism did you experience, he asked, and they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. They were all about 12 men in all. There was more than one person, so I don't know what you're saying there.
What
so
I'm saying
help me
is
with
that, yes. And we are the church. We are the ecclesia. And that word ecclesia is the called out for a common purpose. Our common purpose is to reconcile the world back to God, right? So when we understand that we are the church, when we're doing our when we're fulfilling our assignment of reconciling the world back to God, bringing them back to the rightful place, God has always said, I will dwell with man will dwell with me. That's what's happening here. We have to do what Jesus Christ was here on earth doing when he was here. He was reconciling the world back to God, but now that it's Christ in us, it's the Holy Spirit within us, the mission is the same. We are to be reconciling the world back to God. And when we realize we are the church, then we're not limited to a place or a denomination or a group of people or anything. We are being the church. We are reconciling the world wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We're pointing people to God. And when you perform supernatural acts, when you're healing somebody, you're performing a miracle, you're operating in supernatural faith, that's all you're doing. You're not drawing attention to yourself. You're drawing attention to God. And that's one of the ways you discern false signs, miracles, and wonders from real signs, miracles, and wonders, because unbelievers who are possessed can perform signs, miracles, and wonders. The question is, where's the attention? Who's getting the glory? If they're getting the glory, rest assured that it's false. But if God is getting the glory, then you know it's the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you're not taught that, you don't know what you're looking at, and even the very elect can get deceived when you see a miracle that is a false miracle, because you can't deny what you see. But the question is, who gets the glory?
Amen.
All right, Dr. Nuss. We'll let you back in there.
This is Brett. I got a question.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah. How do you know what's a real miracle and what's a false miracle?
By who gets the glory. So if you see someone who is healed and
you never hear in the name of Jesus Christ. You never see glory given to God, but you see all attention given to the individual who is performing this miracle, right? That is a lying sign, miracle, or wonder. However, the purpose for all miracles, if you study throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, is to draw men's attention back to God and to remind them that there is something beyond our five senses at work here.
Everything in the Bible, specifically in the book of John, is a good one. It's called Behold the Lamb. I mean, there's a big focus on seeing Christ as the Lamb. And everything that Jesus does, even when he gives an example or models, is to point to God. And so miracles, as Lester was saying, are the very thing. So Jesus becomes our model on how we also should operate. Okay. All right.
All spiritual gifts should lead back to God. God should get the glory in whatever spiritual gifts have been given. And we've heard a lot of talking here. We got people from different denominations on the line tonight. And the gift of speaking in tongues, I'd like to get an understanding from those on the line. Do you believe that's a condition of salvation?
Let me address that. I'd like to. Here's the thing. Look, it's important because of this. There was a time when I would teach, and I would intentionally withhold the teaching on the need to speak in tongues and prophesy as a part of your salvation. And I would do that because I knew it was a stumbling block for many people. However, God convicted me at a point, and he showed me how you can't teach part of the truth. The reason God needs you to speak in tongues and prophesy is so you can communicate with him and so that you can bless others. And you, if you don't speak in tongues and prophesy, if you're not operating in the supernatural in your communication with God, it's so much easier for the devil to talk you out of whether you're saved or not, to get in there without worry and fear and knock you off of your footing, that you don't grow. And think about it. If you have a child who's in a room and you bring that child food and you clothe the child and you clean the child, but you leave them in the room, you never communicate with that child. There's no communication. That child is like a pet. There's no development there. And there have been examples of how this has happened. The other thing I'd like to point to is how when God wanted to divide man, he confounded their languages, right? Well, when God wanted to unite and create this one church that we have, he gave us a common language in speaking in tongues, our supernatural language, right? So just like we believe to be able to turn away and repent from serving sin, we believe to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ was the Lord of our life. We believe that God raised the Son from the dead. We need to believe to speak in tongues and prophesy so that we know that we know that we know that we're saved without any doubt, worry, or fear about whether we're going to heaven or not.
Other people who have a different perspective. Eric.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. I heard part of the explanation from Brother Lester, but I did not hear the question.
He was basically explaining why speaking in tongues was kind of essential. Well, Lester, I ain't going to speak for you. Sum it up for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard him say that before, and that's fine.
Okay.
That
perspective
works for him, but I don't think it's essential because I can communicate with God fairly well from my perspective.
Amen.
So much so that I can do what he asked me to do. I don't speak in tongues, at least in the realm of out in public. You know, my prayers, that's a whole other story, and having a discerning ear of what God is asking me to do. From me, it says that in the Bible, and it is true, but I also, my personal belief is that depending upon your relationship with God, maybe that you're speaking to God in tongues in your prayers doesn't mean that you have to do it openly in the church, because if there's no one there to interpret it, what good is it to the church?
Well, no, that's absolutely true. That's biblical. And one of the reasons why you – there are a number of things that you're doing when you're speaking in tongues, and my concern is about you speaking in tongues in your private prayer life, because you are building up your inner man, the Bible says. It says you're interceding for the saints perfectly. It says you're speaking mysteries to God. It says that you're giving God perfect praise, perfect worship when you're speaking in tongues. There are so many things that you're doing according to the scripture when you speak in tongues. It's essential, and it is not the public act like certain denominations use it, like a driver's license. No, speaking in tongues is a sign to unbelievers. It's not a sign to somebody else that you're saved. It's a sign to unbelievers that they can have the Holy Spirit too, right? And it's that kind of wrong teaching that has chopped up the body of Christ and twisted the word of God, and the devil has used our serving money, our pleasing people, are operating out of our own strength and leaning to our own understanding in order to create a false Christianity, a carnal Christianity that is that weapon of the flesh against the spirit. It is that thing that Dr. Beavers was talking about at the beginning of this, is what has crept into the church to put its foot on the hose of the supernatural gifts.
What do you think, Reverend Dix? I hear you over there. Oh, go ahead, Jack. Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say that the most important gift and the most important way that we can show that we are Christians is that we love.
Amen.
And the Bible,
amen.
The Bible teaches that. It doesn't say that we have to speak in tongues. It doesn't say that we have to perform miracles. I mean, these are gifts that are given to some people. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, look at starting at the 29th verse. It says, are all apostles? Are all prophets?
No.
Are we all teachers? Do
no.
we all have the power to do miracles?
No.
Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the
no.
ability to speak in unknown languages?
No.
Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages?
No.
Of course not. So that says that all don't have the same gifts. And we've been reading about this in all the texts that we've been looking at, that the Holy Spirit determines what gift you have. And so some people have more gifts than other people. But the way that the world knows, and the way that we can know that we are saved, is that we can love each other and we can love our enemies, and that God has changed us and we're not the same people we used to be. And that's what the Spirit will do. The Spirit is the stamp of approval. That's the seal that we've got the Spirit of God in us, and it manifests itself in different ways in our gifts. That's the way I
see it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't have much time left, and I'm really, really excited about the discussion that we've had, and it's really been uplifting. I think it's going to bless somebody that's going to be listening to this broadcast.
We have about 30 minutes, Dr. Ness. We
got
about
30 minutes?
15, 20 minutes. Yeah, we have
okay.
15, 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, I wanted us to go back to the teachings of Romans chapter 12, and I wanted us to go through some of these verses, and I think it speaks to the church today as to what we should be doing and maybe what we shouldn't be doing. But I think, you know, what everybody has said, I think, is really important and key, in that we should not let the politics of denominations stray us from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God. And I believe all these gifts that the Bible says that people can have, people do have. I believe that. I believe that in my heart. I don't believe the gift stopped after the apostles died, first the disciples died. And some people in some mainline denominations believe that. And so they don't believe that we can be doing these gifts. And because they don't believe it, they're not going to do it. But I believe that miracles can happen. I believe that people speak in tongues. I believe that people interpret tongues. I believe that people have special spiritual gifts of administration, of teaching, of preaching, of being a pastor. I believe that, that God has given us special people, and we ought to use those gifts to help each other out and uplift the body of Christ.
Dr. Nix, I have a question. We've been talking about how do those who have the gift of administration handle when you have people who have who think they have a gift and they don't. How do we help people that don't have a gift, that think they have a gift, and we need to help those people understand quit laughing back there.
I was just thinking about the person that wants to lead songs in the choir, church choir, and can't carry a tune. And then,
This is Eric. Yeah, so we have those, but what happens is that we in our churches are not strong enough to say, you know, sister, brother, that's not your gift. Let's look and see what your gift is that will benefit and uplift this church. Because if you got to struggle to try to get stuff done, that's probably not your gift. And why you may think it is.
People will get mad at you, Eric.
So, Dr. Susie, they got mad with Christ and they killed him. Are they gonna kill you? That's their problem. We in our church have gotten so politically correct that we can't tell people the truth. And the Bible tells us that when someone is wrong, you need to go to them and talk to them. If they don't hear you, take a brother and a sister with you. And if they don't hear you, take them before the whole church. If they don't hear you, then leave them alone.
This is one thing that I believe will help all of you. This is something that will help all of you with this, right? We have a lot of PhDs on this line. Study that word gift.
We don't have a lot of PhDs. We just have a lot of people who love the Lord.
All right, well, we have one. The thing is this, is you need to study that word. Look, study that word gift in the Greek. And when you are speaking to people, you'll know what you're talking about. But if you just use the word gifts as a blanket statement and then start listing all those things you think are gifts without understanding those three Greek words, you're not going to have an accurate format for making your argument.
This is Sean.
Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just going to add to that a little different perspective, too. And I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but I have. A lot of these churches I've been to, they're so desperate for help and support that they'll sit there and tell people. They haven't even checked those people's gifts. They'll just say, listen, we need somebody. And they'll say it like that. We need somebody. Or we need some people in the choir. We need somebody to usher. We need somebody. You understand what I'm saying? So they have not checked. They're not calling folks for their gifts. They didn't say, are you gifted in this? They're not auditioning folks. Can you sing? They just said, we need some people in the choir. We need Women's Day is coming. We need some women up here to sing. And so all these women, if you're a woman, come on up. We're going to have a meeting. And then they tell you to come in your black and white dress, and on Sunday we're going to stand up here in front of church and sing. Not knowing them women cannot sing.
Sean, the other thing they'll do is they'll take somebody who tithes consistently, who tithes well, extremely well, and they'll make them a deacon because they don't want them to go away, right? Yeah. And that's how you end up with people who aren't administrators in positions as administrators. Right. They're serving mammon. It's about serving mammon and money.
Yeah. And you cannot take the good without the bad, Dr. Susie, in that. So my point is this. If you say we're going to cook dinner and everybody just come and cook, but them people, not everybody can cook, then when the food is done, you can't complain about how it tastes.
I won't get up this, Sean. I won't cook.
But there are people, I'm just saying.
No, but, yeah. I hear
you. That's what they do.
But the reality is, yeah, Eric, I hear you too. You know, I have had to say to people that, you know, I don't perceive that you have a gift. And in reality, they get very angry. And one of the ladies wanted to leave the church. But, you know, and I, what's so bad about it is I offered to help her discover her spiritual gift. But because it wasn't the one she wanted to use, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, we lead and keep. That's the gift of administration. We got to figure out how to do it and keep it rolling. Woo! But anyway, Dr. Mitch, you're meddling in folks' lives this evening. I just want to let you know you're starting stuff. So,
me?
Any other questions?
Oh,
guilty. He's guilty.
Hey, Dr. Susie, this is Britt. One of the things that I found that works when you come up against something like that is somebody thinks they got a gift, then go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I sit back
and I say,
okay, prove it to me. Prove to me that you have this gift. And I put them in situations where they have to exercise that gift if that is what God has really given them. A lot of times they fail. When you can't complete your mission, then what good are you to the body of Christ?
Well, I'm telling you, I had a lady who was doing youth. She had a vacation Bible school, and the only child that showed up was her. And she still thinks she got a gift, so I don't know. I don't know about
how many people.
One child showed up. It was her child. One child showed up. Her child. So what I'm saying to you is, some people still think they have a gift, even when the results, even when everything around them says you don't have a gift, even when people say, "Well, why is she doing that?" You know, they still want to believe and to do what they want to do. And it, sometimes we just have to, like Eric said, it's like, sweetie, you know, it's just not going to work today.
What was her title?
Not today.
What was her title?
I don't want to say because she might be listening to the radio. I want to stay out of trouble. Yeah.
Well, I would have created a position for somebody else to be over whatever her job title is.
Sometimes you just have to let people know that that's not their
gift. We don't need to do it. We just need to be honest and truthful about that. This gift is not working. Here's why it's not working.
Yeah.
I'll help you to find your gift, but this is not working, and it is not beneficial to the body of Christ, and we need to find you something that is. I'm sorry that hurts your feelings, but I'd rather tell you that now than to have you looking like you looking right now amongst everybody else, because we all know it's not working.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Well, anyway, Dr. Nuss.
Yeah, we, I know
what I'm teaching next week.
You teaching on gifts?
I'm teaching on gifts next Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. It'll be all over Facebook.
Yeah. I know. You'll send me a link. I got it. But I hear you, Dr. Nick. Is that the last question you have for us?
Yeah, we talked about a lot of things, and we didn't really get to what I had planned, but it's what God planned. So I'm okay with that, and I think it's been a great lesson. There's so much teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's what I wanted us to go over, but we don't have time. But we talked about a lot of the things that are in there, and I agree with what Sean was saying about when people – how the church does, and generally we just, somebody else was saying it too, about just putting people in position because it's convenient. We don't really take the time to even, I think, try to ascertain what people's gifts are sometimes. It's just whatever's convenient. We just throw some people up there and say, sing, or put people on the usher board. Lord have mercy. Some people that are ushers don't need to be ushers.
I never forget. Eric told a story about how he went in church one time and he tried to sit down in the pew, and the lady asked him why he was sitting in her seat. I'll never forget that. Woo! So the reality is, you know, people have that tradition. You know, you got ushers that don't know how to. I had an usher at a church ask a woman why did they come to church. you know, why did you come to church with that on? She asked her that. Why did you come to church with that on? The lady was offended highly. So everybody ought not be in a position of an encourager when they're not, or an exhorter when that's not their gift. And we learned all that this evening. But I guess one of the things I want to share tonight is that as we're in our Bible study, we have to understand that we have people from various faiths, various denominations, and we're going to have different opinions and different understandings. But it's so good when we can come together and hear one another, and we can get what these different perspectives are. We always come to be stretched, and just love the diversity of thought. So thank all of you for participating this evening. I do have questions for praise reports and prayer concerns. Anybody want to lead tonight? Praise reports and prayer concerns. Don't everybody jump at once. Sean.
Oh, this is Sean. I have a praise report. God has provided me with some unexpected additional funds, which I'm grateful for.
Amen.
And thankful.
Praise Hallelujah.
But my, you know, I mean, there's no but to it. Just praise God, and I thank him for that.
Amen.
In addition to that, my prayer request is that I still need, you know, answer prayers regarding my job, where to live, where to work, and strengthen my body to stay healthy and well, and health for my family. I just found out that I have a relative's cousins traveling to Texas to spend Thanksgiving with other family members in Texas, and one of my cousins on the plane had a seizure, and they had to get off in Kansas City. I don't know the status of his health at this point, but that was something that just came through on my text message. So I just, you know, pray and ask God to heal my family and keep us strong and healthy and well. And I just thank God for being God, and just he's just, you know, even in my struggle, he's been a blessing. And so I just thank him for that. And I just thank all of you for all the prayers that you guys have given and lifted up me in over the last several months as I've gone through my challenges. And I thank you for that. And I've in the midst of that, like I said, I just praise God. I thank him. He's good to me. He's still good. He's still providing.
Amen.
He's still supplying.
Amen.
And I just give him the glory that he is every night. I have some place to stay. I may not know where I'm going to be 6 months from now, but tonight I have a roof over my head, and I got a car to drive, and I got food in my stomach. So I thank him for that. And so I just give him the glory and his provision. And I pray for all of us that God would answer all of our prayers, because we all have our issues, our situations. And I just thank God for all of us and him calling us together as a body of Christ, loving and supporting each other, and I enjoyed tonight, and I thank you for that.
Amen.
Brother Lester,
Amen.
Would you close us in prayer after we finish this? Is there anybody else who's got prayer requests or prayer concerns? I want to lift up my family. This is Dr. Susie. I want to lift up my family, James and Sydney, my children. I also ask for travel mercies during the holiday season. I ask that my business might continue to be productive, and that I can use some of the diversity training for the police here in my area. They've asked me to serve as a chaplain. I do have a group that's coming in for counseling this week, and I ask for prayer for them as well. Anybody else? Oh, praise report. God is good. I am also lifting a prayer for the they call it Interfaith Ministries, shared ministry group here in Cleveland, and I got roped into being the community speaker for about 8 churches here in the community. So just asking that God would bless it as I preach on New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving Eve, tomorrow evening. Thank you, at 7 o'clock at St. Paul.
Amen. Amen.
This is Britt.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Britt. Please keep in prayer the family, Framus Brown, and also last week another high-profile friend of mine named Dr. Gene McFadden passed away.
What? Dr. McFadden?
Yeah, Gene passed last Sunday or Monday.
Wow.
And he had just gotten married not too long ago, so I'm asking for prayers for his wife also.
Wow.
This is James.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but just real quickly, if you guys haven't seen this nationally, Chicago has just released a video of a murder. A white policeman shot a 17-year-old a year ago 16 times. And so they're about to release the video, so they're really concerned that there's going to be, riots or just a lot of turmoil and chaos around it. And so I just ask that we would lift up the city of Chicago, that there would be peace in the midst of this new revelation.
As well as lift up Paris and France, Russia and United States and all those who are involved in the ISIS dilemma.
Oh, Dr. Susie, one other thing.
Yes, yes.
Lift up the family of the pastors whose wife was shot in the head last week.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
we
heard
had
about
a, yeah, it was. It's been on national news. It happened right off of Kessler.
Wow.
A pastor and his wife moved here from, I can't remember, somewhere in the South to start a church.
Okay.
And she was pregnant with their second child, and three guys broke in. They arrested them. They found them. But she was shot in the head, and so her and her unborn baby died. But this young pastor is having a hard time dealing with it. I understand his anger. I think all of us would be angry and want to strike out.
Lord have mercy.
Due to our faith, we have conflict. So please just lift him up in prayer.
Also, I will. Also, Lester, you got that. But I wanted to also lift up my sister in Christ. Her name is Denise. Her sister died a month ago, and her sister's daughter was struggling. And as a result, yesterday evening, her niece, which is the sister's daughter that died, the sister that died, her daughter committed suicide. And her 9-year-old found her unresponsive. And so I'm asking prayer for that family and for that 9-year-old child that's in trauma.
Amen.
And
amen.
Please. Anyone else?
Want to lift up Pastor Vern Mullins and his wife, okay, Ida Mullins, for prayer.
All right. And we also want to lift up the season of Advent, as this is a time that we are looking coming of the new king. We just praise the Lord as we celebrate hope, peace, joy, and love. Lester, would you do us honor?
Heavenly Father, I thank you today, God. I thank you for peace and deliverance for Chicago, God. I thank you for Pastor Mullins and his wife, God. I thank you for keeping them. I thank you for and their family, God. I thank you around the 9-year-old and her state of being, God. Father, I thank you for the pastor's wife here that was killed and raped, and I thank you for her family just healing and being delivered, God. Father, I thank you for the cities of Paris, France. I thank you for Russia, for Nigeria. I thank you for all of the attacks of ISIS, God, being contained and handled properly, God. Father, I thank you for Amos Brown and his family. I thank you for his family, God. I thank you for the contribution he made in Indianapolis. I thank you for Dr. Gene McFadden and his family, God, your hedge of protection around them, God. For James and Sydney, God, your hedge of protection around
Amen.
Them. And Father, I thank you for Sean's relatives, God, and for
yes,
his
Lord.
Health status being stabilized, God. Father, I thank you for
yes,
you being glorified during this season, God, and giving people comfort
yes.
and peace as they recall the positive aspects of former
yes.
holidays and remember those who are no longer with us. In the name of your Son, Jesus
yes.
Christ, amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.